What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Zach and Pat Show. I'm Zach.
I'm Pat.
This is the show about manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship, and the mentality it takes to be successful at those things. We'll probably talk about some real estate stuff, too, because that's what Pat and I do. You know, guys, life can be hard, and we go through some stuff and struggle at times. But this is the show to let you know that you're not alone. So if you're someone out there that's going through any of these things, this is the show for you. All right, guys, so this is our book review episode. But before we get into that, we do have some housekeeping stuff. Shout out to our friends at NeuroGum for keeping us energized and focused. NeuroGum is an energy supplement, basically. It's a gum that has caffeine, vitamins B12, B6, and L-theanine, which have been scientifically proven to help with memory and recall. And it's just good gum. I'm a big fan. They've kind of partnered with us here and, sent us a bunch of free stuff. So, we really like our friends at NeuroGum. So buy some NeuroGum, check it out. It's available all over the place. So
also shout out to our friends over at Fit Flavors, for a limited time through the end of May. You can go online and purchase an online gift card, one per person. And when you enter the code podcast50, you'll get 50% off that gift card. So I went in, got a $1,000 gift card for $500. It was great. And it's for our listeners and people that follow along. So, again, podcast50 when you go to buy an online gift card.
Save that money.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, NeuroGum, and thank you, Fit Flavors.
Yes. So this is our, every month we've been doing a book of the month where we sit down or, we all read a book together and recap that book. The book for the month of March was Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, a classic in like the realm of personal development. And, it was great. I haven't read this one in, it's been a number of years, but I remember this being like one of the first ones that I read. It was when I first started, in real estate. Alex, the guy who kind of mentored me and kind of showed me the ropes with real estate, gave me, three books. He's like, I want you to read these three books. And Think and Grow Rich was one of the three. And I remember it like really opening up my eyes to a lot of things, and it's just really good. I mean, it is definitely kind of like a little dated,
yeah.
But I feel like everything in it still applies today.
Oh, absolutely.
I can't remember what chapter it was, but I remember them talking about like the cost of an apartment in New York City or something, and it was like something like $100 or something, or something like
now
crazy.
It's like $2,200 for a studio,
right? Exactly. But but obviously just take the principles, apply them to today, and I definitely think it still applies. So
yeah. I mean, it's all about mindset. Mm-hmm. And that was the biggest thing that I took away from it, was just how you think about things, especially in terms of business and money and the power of our mind.
Mm-hmm.
And when we put our, the saying, you put your mind, do anything when you put your mind to it.
Right.
And this book does a great job of diving into different ways of, using your mind, and training your mind to be successful.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. So how do we want to do this, man? We want to just kind of go, so in the book, I believe is it 13 or 14?
13.
13 principles in the book.
It's 16 chapters. The first is just the introduction, and then the last two are just kind of wrapping it all up, bringing mm-hmm. it together. But there's 13 main principles throughout the book. I think we'll just dive into those principles.
Works for me. Cool. So you want to start us off?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first one that they talk about is desire. And that it's the starting point of all achievement. He discusses the difference between a wish and a burning desire. So, a wish is just, I wish I closed so many deals a month. The burning desire is like, no, I want to be the best loan officer there is. Like, I want to close more business than anyone. And it's deeply rooted. It's something that you are desire, passion, however you want to say it, you are all in on, where and you're forming a game plan around it to make it happen. And yeah, I mean, we do it all the time with setting mm-hmm. goals and business planning and things like that. And that's part of it.
Yeah. You got to want it, man. But you also, and you can't just want, or just can't, you can't wish, want, desire without action. And I know, I believe he touches on that in the chapter, that you know, it's not just about the wanting. It's also about, you know, actually taking steps and making actions toward those goals and toward those desires to actually make them happen. Cause I mean, I can sit here and think, oh man, I'm a billionaire, you know, but like, it's not going to happen. If I just sit here and sit in this room and just sit here and wish I can do it for years and years, and it's never going to do anything until I actually go out there and start taking action steps into making that happen.
Right. And then and the great thing about it is like, if you're having trouble with it or you're trying to figure that out, there's a plan. I think it's a 6-step plan within it. I'll have to go back and reread it step by step to know what the steps are, but yeah, it outlines 6 steps that you can take to get to that burning desire or create that burning desire for yourself and make it a reality.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And then, so the next one, pull up my notes here, is faith. Mm-hmm. Not talking about like religious faith, but just faith. Well,
more like belief in yourself, mm-hmm. is the way that I kind of took it.
Yeah, belief in achieving one's goals.
Right. Which is super important, you know, like if you can, you can't think poorly of yourself and expect to do well. You know, you gotta always be kind of driving and pushing and expecting yourself and expecting more of yourself, but believing that you can do it.
Oh, absolutely. So it talks like the biggest thing was, like the power of visualization, like visualizing, I think he said sit down and write out your desires, and then looking at your desires, you know, think about the amount of money that you want to have, and then actively visualizing yourself with that amount of money and how that works and what it's going to look like, how it's going to feel like, feel it in your hands. Like, and this goes back to like stuff I would do for baseball, like mental games that I would play with when I was playing baseball, like, to get mentally focused for a game. So there was always a trick that we did. And you had like a Cardinal red, a Royal blue, and an Athletic green baseball. And you close your eyes and you would imagine those balls in front of you. And then you just imagine yourself picking up and moving those baseballs around and feeling them and all of that. And it puts your mind in a place that where you're truly focused on what it is that you're doing, and by doing that, it helps create this positive and clear picture of what it is that you're going for and striving for.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that, like I said, he does a great job of explaining that. And it's true. I mean, that's one of the biggest things that I do. Like meditation. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about it before the show, meditation and the power of that. I mean, everything, like our brain is so powerful, and the capabilities that we have just by applying those, our focus and our concentration on the things that we want and manifesting them into actual things is a powerful thing. And it happens.
And it happens all the time. I mean, it really is powerful. I think visualization is super important. It's definitely something that I'm sure a lot of people out there like kind of think of as like a woo woo, but I mean, how many people do we know? I mean, Andy being one of them, Andy Frisella being one of them.
Andy visualizes to this fucking day.
Right. And well, I know he's talked about, you know, like imagining going up to walking, driving his Ferrari or driving whatever car up to the lot with the private jet and then getting off and him feeling the chrome on the handrail, walking up the steps and like super detailed stuff. I remember him talking about like on the old MSCEO project. And then I like took that idea of hearing him talk about it. And then you can also there's a lot of YouTube videos out there too, right, that are like great, like guided meditation for visualization that I used to use a lot. You know, I'd visualize, all right, me pulling up to the, you know, this big, big, beautiful house that I want to own someday. I'm getting out of the truck that I want to own. And I look over to my right and I've got that, you know, I've got this dream that I have this big, like detached garage where I've got like a gym set up in there and an office. And now I've added a podcast studio into that. And like, right, you know, it's like, there's all these like things that I want, desire for like the life that I want to live. And I think that like, there is serious power to that.
I mean, absolutely.
You know, I haven't, you know, but if I look at where my life was really like 5 years ago when I, you know, when I really kind of got into like the personal development kind of stuff and really, you know, when I got into real estate and started kind of surrounding myself with these positive people, like I look at where my life was then and where I'm at now, and it's just exponentially different.
Oh yeah,
it's amazing.
I mean, it's like those people that do vision boards.
Mm-hmm. I've got one.
Yeah. And you know, it's you know, you're putting the things on there that you want, and the more that you are actively visualizing these things in your life, they're going to manifest themselves to you. You know, I'm going to relate a lot of this to baseball because some of the best players that I know, and especially pitchers. I mean, baseball is a mental game, and I know guys, and my old pitching coach would tell me this, and I would. I mean, there were like when I was a starting pitcher, I would the night before a start, I would go through in my mind a game, like myself on top of the mound, going through my motion, feeling myself through the motion, feeling the ball, releasing the ball, all of those things. Imagining the hitter in the box, how I would pitch these guys up and down, in and out, change of speeds, things like that. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of super successful baseball players that did that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's true. I mean, those were the best games that I had. I mean, and it is. I mean, it's a practice and it takes patience and it takes a lot of work. It's not something that's just going to come to you overnight.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of work, like you said, like, visualizing the life that you want and then continuing to do that every single night. I wake up every single morning and just visualize those things. I use it with my schedule, like visualizing how I'm going to attack the day, what I want my day to look like. And most of the time when I do it and I'm, my days are turning out exactly like that. So.
Perfect. I've done the same thing with wrestling and jujitsu. Like that was something probably about a month ago now that we did that. We did a podcast talking about that tournament we did, but,
mm-hmm.
As a gym, we kind of get ready together. Even there's, you know, if there's 300 people that go to the gym, you know, maybe only 40 or 50 of them will compete, but you know, we get ready as a team. And that's something that our coach really is good about is like, all right, we're building, you know, we're 6 weeks out from this tournament. We're building a game plan now. All right. You know, like, we're all individuals. We all like different things. We're all better, good at different things. Like, all right, we're going to work on takedowns this week. And then this takedown is going to have that lead you into the guard. Like picture the match perfectly in your head that, all right, if it goes your way, what are you going to do? You want to take this guy down using this takedown. I go from that takedown to this pass to this, you know, this pass that gets me to mount. And then that's where I cinch up the choke that I like or whatever it is. And it was just a cool way of visualizing that, which I had never done with any sort of sports before or with any sort of grappling sports that I've ever done. It's just like kind of go out there and just do what happens. And right. What happens, happens. But like actually going out there with a game plan and like, all right, well, this is my A takedown. This is my B takedown. All right. Well, all right. Am I taking this guy down or am I going to pull? And if I'm going to pull this, I'm going to do this. If I'm going to take him down, I'm going to do this. And it's like, you're just building this pathway. And it was really, really eye-opening to like my sport and, you know, seeing it from that angle was really cool. Definitely. But it also applies to fucking everything. You know? I mean, business.
Literally everything.
Everything.
Everything. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Next one. Auto-suggestion. The medium for influencing the subconscious mind. So he explains the concept of auto-suggestion and its impact. He discusses how thoughts can be implanted into the subconscious through repetition. So again, constantly talking to yourself in a positive way, telling yourself, you know, basically having your affirmations, you know, talking through those, basically controlling your thoughts and your beliefs. You know, it's the more, you know, the more positive thoughts that you're giving yourself, the more positive your life is going to be.
Actually, I mean, if I could speak on that real quick, because what we talked about right before this episode was just like some of the things I've been dealing with mentally and emotionally and what I've been doing to fight it. And that's a big thing is like how you talk to yourself. There's a great book called What to Say When You Talk to Yourself. And your internal dialogue has a lot to do with how you're programmed. And I can openly admit my internal dialogue is fiery and mean and angry and very critical, especially of myself. And as much as you need to be accountable to yourself and the people you're responsible to, you know, you can't have a really positive, great, wonderful life if you have a shitty mindset or a shitty self-talk. And I know people who are incredibly successful who are fucking miserable, dude.
Oh, yeah.
And it starts with their internal dialogue and that kind of conditioning. If you pay attention to it and you actually like treat it the way it's supposed to be treated, that is like that that and inches on the touchdown of like achieving your right. happiness. It is how you deal with yourself. So from personal experience, you know, you could be working hard. You can be reading all the books. You can be working out. You can be eating right. If you don't talk to yourself in a way that is positive, which doesn't mean you have to kiss your own ass. It doesn't mean you have to like, you know, be in love with yourself. Right. It's just, you have to give yourself a little bit of credit for what you're doing. Give yourself the critiques you need, but don't be afraid to be like, you did a good job today.
But even when you do the critiques, it's a critique in a positive way. Like there's ways that you can critique yourself negatively and there's ways that you can critique yourself positively. And in the book, he talks about that. I mean, he dedicates two chapters on this, but they're not right back to back. One's later in the in the book, but basically he said a lot of that, you know, not just your self-talk, but the later chapters are allowing outside influences in to affect that will affect your positive thoughts. And they talk about family and friends and coworkers and things like that, that could have a major impact on the way you think. And so, but this first chapter is all about how you speak to yourself and staying positive and continuing to do that on a daily basis constantly. Mm-hmm. And this is something that, I mean, every coaching call I have with Anthony, you know, he's like, how's your self-talk? Always asking me how my self-talk is, because there's so many ups and downs in this business.
Sure.
And there's so many different emotional things that happen. And, you know, and then a lot of things that are out of our control. And that's the biggest thing, is focusing on the things that are in your control and staying positive about the things that are in your control and not letting those outside factors affect your positive thoughts. So, the next one is specialized knowledge, personal experience, or observations. So he explains that specialized knowledge goes beyond formal education and includes practical experiences and observations. So like, was it Thomas Edison that only had, what, 2 grades of education?
Right. And then he went on to create
the greatest inventor of all time.
Yeah, the light bulb, the telephone.
He stole the idea for the light bulb from Nikola Tesla.
Right.
Just remember that. Credit where it's due.
Yeah.
Still a great inventor.
For sure.
Right.
You know, I think they talked about in that chapter.
It might not have been his idea, but he's the one that got it to work.
It's true.
That's true. And I remember, I think it was this chapter where he's talking about being the difference in being kind of a jack of all trades and a specialist of none, you know, and, you know, I think it's more valuable to be very good at one thing than just to be kind of average or below average at a bunch of things.
Right.
You know, the people that are high earners are specialists in their craft.
Right.
And, you know, they're not just a guy that kind of does everything.
Right. And then, like, tagging onto another book, you know, Tim Grover, who was Michael Jordan and Kobe's coach.
And Dwayne Wade.
And Dwayne Wade, all those guys. But he goes in there and he's like, if you want to be truly great at something, that means you're not going to be great at a lot of other things. Mm-hmm. Because in order for you to be truly great at something, you have to give everything you have to that one thing. So it's hard, you know. You can't be a jack of all trades you can't be a master of something if you're trying to be a master at everything, because you don't have the capacity. You can't, like, if you want to be the best real estate agent, you can't be the best. You're not gonna be able to be the best person at jiu-jitsu, right? Because if you want to be the best real estate, you got to give everything you can. So that means you're taking away from what you're giving to jiu-jitsu.
100%.
So,
and I mean, I've felt that over the last couple, well, you know, really over the last 2 years, ever since, you know, kind of Calvin came into the picture, is I can't spend as many hours at the gym, or I've got, you know, and I've seen people that I used to, you know, be pretty evenly matched with have, like, and then where they've just been training, they've stayed on that same trajectory where they were training as much as I was back then. And, you know, they're better than me now. And, you know, there's little things like that that'll irritate me, but I got to remember, like, oh, look at all these other things I've got going on. I've got the business, the family, the podcast, whereas that person might not have, you know, as many other things going on outside of jiu-jitsu. So they're able to put more energy and effort into it. And it's like, it's okay.
All right.
I'm happy with where I'm at.
So. Right. And, you know, it's just, and it comes with, like, the things that you desire and the things that you're passionate about and the things that you want to be the greatest at. You're going to take the time to acquire that new knowledge and those new skills for that specific purpose or specific thing that you are wanting to be the best at.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's going to take time away from you being able to do that with other things. And that's the thing. I think we've touched on this a few times, but, like, or I think it was the episode that we had Gretchen on, where she was very open about how she struggles with the things that she's struggling with, trying to juggle everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because you can't, like, you can juggle it, but you're not going to be the best at something. Like, she's great at real estate, and she mentioned how it's affecting her life at home. But that's the thing, is like, she wants to be great at that. So those other things are going to take a back seat. I mean, me, for example, my marriage, I mean, that took a back seat. Like, when we first met, like, we were both very determined in our jobs and growing our jobs. And that's what we put first. And then it was our relationship. And then the kids came in. And, you know, again, it's not that I don't love my kids and I want to be the best father that I can, but also wanting to be the best loan officer. Like, you know, one of those things has to take precedent. And for a while, and I feel shame when I say this, because I did at the very beginning when Connor was first born, it took me a little while to realize, like, no, this kid's the most important thing. And I was putting my business first. Like, that's right now, because I need to provide. Like, I felt like in order to provide for him and give him and Melissa what they needed, I needed to be the best at my job. And it took away from me being a good father. But then I realized, like, no, my why is my kids. My why is Connor and Oliver. My job comes second. And so now I'm doing everything I can to be the best father. And then I'm okay with being just a good loan officer.
Yeah.
Because I want to be the best father.
You're still in the top 1% of mortgage loan officers in the country.
Yeah.
And sometimes these things work out, though, because, you had to make a decision of what was more important to you. And family should come first. Being a father is the dedication, but it's not like you're going to start slacking off in your job.
No.
It just means you're not probably going to be working overtime. You're
right.
Not going to be giving up that more expendable recreational time, free time, downtime. You're going to spend that with your family. You're spending that with your kids and your wife at the time. And
right. When
you're working, it's like, well, what is your why? My why is I'm a provider, and obviously I want to win, but ultimately, it's like, if I have to come down from like the 110% I'm doing at my job to just like a 99,
right.
I mean, you still dusted how many people?
Right.
Yeah.
Winners win, bro.
Yeah. Well, my favorite, I heard an analogy, or I don't know what you call it, but whatever, just way to kind of describe what we're talking about here is that, if you can describe your, if you put it into like units of measurement, and you've only got, 100 units per day of like effort and energy. Like, I can't put all 100 of my units of effort and energy into real estate. Like, no, I gotta give, 30 units to real estate. I gotta give, 30 units to, Calvin and Gina. And I gotta give, I've got my fitness and my, all these other things.
Right.
Like, you can only got so many units to spend every day. So like distribute them accordingly,
right.
I can't put all 100 into real estate every day, because then I'm gonna be a shitty dad and I'm gonna get fat and I'm gonna just, yeah. So you have to spread it out.
Right.
So,
yeah. But it also goes into too, like, I want to teach Connor and Oliver the meaning of hard work and discipline and all of that. And part of that is the job,
setting an example for them. Yeah.
Right. And so they can see, like, yeah, hey, like, dad works hard. Dad is doing what he needs do to be the best version of himself, which is, I mean, they learn from us. They learn from watching us, seeing us, and how we go about our lives. So it's not like I don't want to completely put my business, like, just let it go completely, because it's, I want them to be able to see that. I want them to see me working hard, so they learn what hard work is. I want them to see me be disciplined with work and in the gym and all that, so they learn discipline. Well, yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things. It's a fine line. I will say, like, one of the great things about this, about Forrest, I mean, is the schedule with their kids. So like, when I have my boys and the 2 days that I have them, I'm working until I get them. And then once I have them, they get everything of me. But then those 2 days that I have off, like, that's when I go, that's go time for work. That's where I'm 100% all in on work. That is when. So it has allowed me to be better at my job with this new schedule than it when it was, you know, when I had them every day. I mean, I miss them sure. dearly, but it does allow me to break that up and allow me to, on the due days that I don't have them, really focus hard on that. So
right. you're using all your points in one day, you know, in 2 days yeah, at a yeah, time. Exactly. You know, that's the way right. I'm looking at it, you know, mm-hmm. and then you're spending all your other points those other days on work.
Yep.
Or units or whatever.
Units, we're it, whatever you know? We want to call it. Yeah. So, all right. The next chapter, Imagination, the Workshop of the Mind. Mm. Explores the power of imagination in achieving success. He discusses how imagination can be used to create new ideas and solutions. It emphasizes the importance of harnessing the creative power of the mind. So, I mean, he talks a lot about people that have invented things mm-hmm. in their creative mind. I mean, obviously we're not inventing anything. We're not,
not our thing.
Really. No, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm a super creative person in general, but I will say when it comes to mortgages and structuring a loan, I can get very creative with that to make it like everybody just tries to put people into a box, but there's so many different programs out there that I can get creative and give a different perspective or give a different option to somebody that they might not have been able to see. Kudos to Guild for giving us those products and having those products available to us to do that. But like, I mean, I've been approached by people within our region to like teach how to structure loans because I've gotten that good at it. Mm. And that's one of the things that I'm super proud of and being creative in that aspect. It's not like I'm reinventing the wheel. I mean, we're coming up with new products. Guild's the one that's being creative and coming up with the new products for us to be able to, you know, sell, but being able to take that and offer those to the clients and get creative with that and how we can structure those loans and structure these deals, because a lot of people are too lazy to go in and learn a lot of these things. Like I think I did last year, I did a post on how these, it was about this time last year where Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac changed the way they were going to price interest rates. So it used to be 7.40 got you the best interest rate. Now it's 7.80. Mm. Well, you know, typically, you know, people are gonna be like, oh, well, yeah, we're going to 700. Let's go look at conventional. Well, now if you're below 7.80, FHA might be a better option. Let's look at that. Mm-hmm. Let's just not pigeonhole us into one thing. And then being able to communicate that with agents that FHA is really not a bad thing, but, or like, putting less money down is going to get you a better rate than if you were trying to like putting 20% down. Actually, your rate's higher. It's a slightly higher interest rate based on how Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac price that loan, because those loans with less than 20% have PMI. But PMI will cover up to 25% or more of the mortgage. So it's a safer bet for someone to put less money down because these PMI companies will step in and cover a percentage versus someone that puts 20% down isn't going to have that PMI coverage, but there's still a good level of default at 20%. Mm. So you actually get a slightly lower rate when you put less than 20% down.
I didn't know that. I was thinking you get more.
Most people don't.
Yeah.
Most people don't.
I do this for a living and I didn't know that.
No, most loan officers don't know that. Yeah.
Damn. Wow. Yeah, as far as the imagination on my side of things, I'm sitting here thinking, I mean, where I've definitely had to use that a little bit most recently in my job would be, well, we're flipping a house right now. So, you know, kind of coming up with the designs and picturing what that's going to look like. So a little bit of imagination's been used there. But, you know, as far as working with people, trying to find deals and stuff, you know, I've gotten some creative ways to do that. So, but, you know, I'm not. Like Pat said, we're not inventing anything. I'm not, you know, revolutionizing anything.
Well,
but
getting
we do have
creative
some,
with how you structure a contract.
Yeah, we got some. You and I got some cool shit on the horizon here for kind of a creative way to, you know, kind of start bringing in some business. So we'll kind of unveil that here as we get closer to that.
But, being ready.
Yeah.
Well, don't neglect the fact that this podcast is a creative venture. I mean, I might do the recording and the filming and all that, but a bulk of the ideas do come from you guys. I mean, you think of the guests we want to have on, you think of the topics, you think of the books, you have to come up with your points for conversation. And I understand like we can take a lot away from it because it's a talk, but it's like, in order to make this valuable for people, you have to be either educating, inspiring, or entertaining. And I think we have a great mix of all three of those things. So
yeah, I agree.
That's a stamp of approval that as the resident creative in the room, like I think you guys are
absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely. And you know, It's funny because I just don't think of this as like a job.
No, you know, I just have fun with it, man.
It's fun.
Well, you know? And that's the best part.
Work.
Yeah,
that's the best part about it. So, yeah.
Next one.
What is the next one here? So I just talked about imagination, organized planning, the crystallization of desire into action. So,
still 40 milligrams.
Lit.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. So this is where it's basically taking our desire and putting it into a plan. So
we kind of briefly touched on it
in the first part of it, but
so I think I got that mixed up.
Yeah, it goes a little bit deeper into the planning aspect of it and gives a little bit more in terms of ideas on how to go about planning and setting definite goals.
Yeah.
And,
no, it's super important.
Yeah.
A lot of people I know have a tendency to overanalyze things. Where, you know, they over plan and under
execute.
Gotta take that step.
I mean, and they keep it simple too. They're like, define how much you want. Like, because a lot of this is talking about money and how much money you want to make.
Mm-hmm.
So sit down and define and write out how much money you want to make and give it a timeline. And then the steps that it takes to get there, and then do those steps. So don't just sit there in the planning phase. You gotta start implementing the planning that you do. So what did I have written down here?
A big piece from Andy is like, people overestimate what they can do in 6 months. They underestimate what they can do in 5 years as well. Like, I have long been guilty of that, which is delaying gratification. A big part of being creative is like seeing your baby, seeing it grow and turn into something. So
yeah,
a little testament to that right there.
Well, that, and I think Elon Musk had a pretty good statement about that too. He's like, if you give yourself 2 weeks to clean the house, it's going to take you 2 weeks to clean the house. But if you give yourself 2 hours, you're going to have the house cleaned in 2 hours.
100%.
So, you know, you got to formulate the plan, but put it into action. Do, you know, set that timeline and set it, you know, I forget who it was they were talking about in the book, but I think they had $1 million in 3 years is what they wanted to make.
Was it a Rockefeller?
It might have been.
Or Vanderbilt?
Might have been Carnegie.
Yeah, I think it was Carnegie.
I think it was Dale Carnegie.
Yeah.
That he was talking about.
Also a titan in the personal development industry from way back in the day.
Thinking
well,
Rich.
He's, I mean, that's,
or no, not Thinking Rich.
No, How to Win Friends.
How to Win Friends. That's,
well, yeah. I mean, this is where he's the brainchild of this book. He's the one that set Napoleon Hill on a 20-year
that's like the whole first chapter is about. Yeah.
I mean, this book is Dale Carnegie's brainchild implemented by Napoleon Hill. You know, Napoleon Hill was who Carnegie, you know, tasked with creating this book and told him it was going to be a 20-25 year journey to create this book of following some of the most influential people and successful people of that time back in the early 1900s through the Great Depression. And that's what we have here, you know. So that's why it might be a little dated in terms of the references, but these principles still hold true today.
Right. 100%. So
true classics never go out of style. You know who said that? Chucky.
Charles Dickens.
What did you say? Oh, they said Charles Lee Ray.
Did Charles Dickens really say it too?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh.
Christmas Carol and Chucky the doll are not synonymous. Thank you.
Oh.
I approve of Chucky way more.
Yeah.
Chapter 8, Decision, the Mastery of Procrastination.
Guilty.
Guilty.
Well, that was the thing. He's like, I think everybody is at some point. I mean, shit, isn't that what college teaches us, how to procrastinate?
Dude, you know? It does.
College taught me how to party and pay my bills.
Right.
I skipped a lot of classes. That's all I did. Sold drugs.
I was a decent college student, but I honestly, I was not. That was like my first real like taste of like having to study and like really like learn in college.
You get by in high school without doing shit.
I got by with like B pluses and A minuses, like just without doing shit. Whole high school. And then when I got to college, I was like, oh, you can't do that here.
Yeah.
If you actually go to class, you can do it there. I didn't go to class. So all nighters, usually 2-3 times a semester.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mom.
But yeah, no, it's just he explores the power of decision making and achieving success and the consequences of indecision and procrastination. But when it comes to making decisions, it's making firm, decisive choices. And he's not saying you have to be, he said you want to be quick about these decisions, but you also want to make sure you're fully informed.
And you want to be slow to change them.
Yes. And he was, again, he's talking about Henry Ford in this. Yes. And how he was, I forget the term that he used, but he was very, like, I think the, what do you say, first 15 million Model Ts that came out were all exactly the same.
Right.
Nothing changed. He was very slow to change. Even when people above him or people that were working with him were adamant about him making changes, and he was very slow to that. And he says, when you are trying to get more information, make sure that you are quiet about you trying to get the information that you're trying to get. Do it on the background. Don't announce that you're trying to get all this information. So, you know, do what you need to do. Do the research to make an effective decision, but be firm in that decision and stick to that decision. He said the people that aren't as successful are the ones that are constantly changing their mind, constantly doing it, changing the way they think about things, or constantly changing the way they're doing things because they're second guessing their original thought.
Right. I remember them talking about in respect to leaders, and people don't want to follow people that are indecisive like that. It's like a good quality of leadership is to be a good decision maker and having the ability to make decisions and stick to them and not wishy-washy, like, I don't know this, that, I'm changing my mind 15 times, because that leaves doubt in the people that are, you know, looking up to you.
Right.
So,
well, that's the thing too, is like, I was, you know, having this conversation the other night, actually with Gretchen, and talking about people that have changed brokerages or teams or things like that a lot over a short period of time. And I just don't think that's a very good look. I mean, that's my thing, is like, I'm constantly getting recruited by other mortgage companies, but I don't want to leave Guild. Guild is a great company that provides a lot of resources for us, and it makes it very easy to do my job. Now, there are other companies that do that, but at the same time, it's like, it's doing my research in the background. It's not like I'm going to be taking a step forward by switching to these companies. It's just a lateral move to another company, learning all the new systems and everything like that. But like, all the perks and things that I've built up with the higher ups within our region, and being able to contact certain people that most can't because of the relationships that I built. Like, I'm not gonna be able to go over there and be able to call the head of our underwriting department and be like, hey, can you help me out on this?
Right.
Like, how can we make this work? What? And they're going to sit there and talk to me about it. And I'm going to be able to hop on a Zoom call and all that. Shout out, Tracy. You're the best. I love you. But yeah, I mean, it is like when it comes to that, my decision-making, like, I'm very slow to make a change.
Bro, I sat on the decision to move to Keller Williams for fucking 6 or 7 months.
Yeah.
I took me so long to finally pull the trigger. And I mean, that was a big decision for me to make, and like, I'm very happy with my decision and going over here, and I'm really happy with it. But it definitely took me a while. I like really battled back and forth just because I was like, man, am I making the right decision? You know, because you just think about all these things, and like what you said about, you know, people that switch brokerages and switch jobs and stuff. It's always a bad sign if, you know, if someone's going to apply to a job and, you know, you look at their resume and they got a new job every 6 months. You're like, well, man, what's going to make this fucking person stick around?
Why is he going to stay?
Yeah. You know? So yeah, be quick to make a decision and slow to change your mind.
Yeah. I mean, like, shit, my decision to do this podcast. I mean, shit.
Yeah, it's right away. Yeah. Man. That's one thing I think I've been, you know, and sometimes almost to a fault, but, I'm pretty quick at making decisions. I don't dwell on decisions or like things that I need to answer or decide on. I'm usually pretty quick about it. I know there's a lot of people in my life that are not so decisive.
Yeah.
It take a long time to make a decision, whether it's a paint color in the baby's room or love you, honey. But there's lots of things. But having just being able to make a decision is definitely a skill.
Yeah.
So
absolutely. And so, and then a lot of a lot of successful people are very good at decision making and very quick and decisive within those decisions that they're making. So let's see here. Persistence, the sustained effort necessary to induce faith. So as the chapters go, they start tying everything previously to it, which is great, because it kind of keeps everything in the forefront. from previous chapters. If you might forget, something might have slipped your memory, another chapter is going to come along and bring back what was previously talked about. You're like, oh yeah. But this one, yeah, is tying, being persistent, constantly pushing forward. And even when people are telling you no, and people are saying you can't do this, but being truly persistent. I think this is the chapter he talked about. It was either Domino's or Starbucks in this one, maybe even both.
I think so.
Talking about these companies that started back in the late 80s and people called them crazy, but they were so persistent with their idea and stuck with it. And I mean,
look where they're at now.
Yeah, exactly. So, that's the thing is like with this, especially on my side of the business, like a lot of our business comes from realtors.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as a loan officer, I have to be persistent in the fact like, hey, this is, how often was I reaching out to you?
Right.
Working to build that trust between the two of us and to build that rapport and that relationship. And that's just something that comes with it. You just got to be persistent. If you're passionate about something and you know that you're good at it, you got to be persistent and to move forward and be better.
Yeah, no matter what it is, man, whether it's your business, whether it's going to the gym, whether it's you want to get better at golf, it's all about showing up and doing the work that needs to be done and doing it on a consistent basis. It kind of goes back to my layers of pain analogy that I like to use in my classes. It's like, man, getting good at this shit takes a long time.
Yep.
But if you keep showing up, eventually you're going to get better. It's like building the mountain out of layers of paint.
Right.
Every day you come in, you're throwing another layer down, and then, in a month you might have like a little bump, and then a year later you got a little bigger bump, and 3 years in you got a speed bump, and eventually you got a little hill, and just every day you're just adding another layer to it. So yeah.
And the terms he used was relentless determination, perseverance, and resilience.
Yeah.
I mean, those are all things like, especially now, like look at all the changes that are going into effect in our industry. Like you have to be relentless, you have to have resilience, and you have to have the determination to move forward and be better at what it is that we're doing to be successful and actually make it through this.
Yeah.
And that goes for, like you said, goes for anything. So yeah, persistence is key. Next is the power of the mastermind driving force.
Mm.
This was a fun, I enjoyed this chapter.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, it's talking about like, you can't do this all on your own. Like, And again, going back to talking about Henry Ford, and in this chapter, he was talking about Henry Ford, how he was also came from very, very low education, but like he surrounded himself
with the people that were good at what they did.
Yeah. Exactly.
Specialists.
Yeah.
We just talked about this, right. With him building, his business from doing like, what do you say? Like 35 grand the 1 year to over 200K.
Yeah.
What was the big change he made is he brought people in that were specialists in what they did.
Yeah.
And, and resulted in an extreme growth and, Henry Ford, same thing.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of aspects of my job that I don't do, mm-hmm. that I have assistants for that are very good at that.
Same thing, man.
Like I don't, there's certain things that I'm not needing to do, but they are excellent at. And I turn things over to them and they get it handled and taken care of.
Yeah.
And again, it's just like, and again, my business partner, I mean, the dude's a genius. He's been in the business for 30 years. I mean, he's seen practically every scenario that you could possibly think of when it comes to buying a house. And so it's nice to be able to kind of lean on him. Or like I said, like, being recruited to these other companies, I'm not going to have, basically I've got a mastermind built up within my company of people that I can reach out to and call and talk to and discuss things with that are way smarter than I am way more. I mean, like underwriters, they are obsessed with these guidelines. They know these guidelines inside and out. I know them. I'd like to say I know these guidelines very well, but in terms of an underwriter, they're on top of these things and they might have something different or a different thought process than I have, and being able to talk with them and pick their brains and figure out solutions. Like, Murph mentioned it, making it into the 1%, but it's a team effort. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the thing, is just like being able to surround myself with the people that can help me get there and continuing to grow. I mean, that's the biggest thing. And that's what he touched on in this, is building those people, having that, having those, like, again, he talked about the knowledge portion earlier, but a lot of that knowledge is, you know, not coming. I think it goes, talked about a lawsuit about Henry Ford being sued for something. And he's like, they were asking him all these questions, like just general knowledge. Like they're trying to figure out if he was just ignorant or if he's like, no, I just surround myself and I pay people to know these answers. So if you want to continue asking me these ridiculous questions, let me call my people that know the answers to this and we'll get this shit solved. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's the biggest fucking mic drop.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, in regards to masterminds, it's kind of the whole reason I moved brokerages is because I just wanted to surround myself with people that were doing bigger and better things. Not that there wasn't anything great going on over at EXP where I was at, but I just felt like here in St. Louis, there was a lot of agents that I admired and wanted to surround myself with and became friends with, and, you know, just the community. And, you know, there's that, you know, you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. So I decided to surround myself with people doing bigger and better things than what I was doing. So
just to talk, like, and to go off of that, like, I mean, that Keller Williams Young Professional Group, I mean, that's an incredible group of realtors that come together, and it's just as, you know, having met a handful of the people that are part of that, like, you guys are all top producing agents. Mm-hmm. And it's great that you guys are able to feed off of one another.
And we're not, you know, there's not that scarcity mentality like, oh, just because they're doing well, it doesn't mean I'm going to do bad. You know, they're not taking business out of my hands. It's like, no, we're all doing this shit together. Right. And like, it's only going to bring us up.
Right. I mean, that's the thing too, is like, again, going back to a conversation I had with Gretchen the other night, was just like, it's awesome to see how, like, I was talking about you and Kat and her, about how, like, the three of you, how successful all three of you guys are, but all go about your business in a different
way. Oh yeah. We're all very different.
Very different. Yeah. Right. And it's incredible to see, like, there's more than one way to do this, but like, you guys can help each other. Like, you guys are helping each other out and talking to each other about different things and different ways that you can help each other grow.
Yeah. Because, oh, like the other day I texted Kat a question about, you know, it was hey, I just was curious, when do you post your listing videos? Like, do you post them, you know, 3 days before you hit the market, 5 days, a week? Like, when do you, like, you know, like, she just, you know, this is what I do. I do it because of this, this, this. And I was like, all right, I'm going to try that. And I think it worked out way better doing it her way. And I was like, okay, that's what I'm going to do from now on.
Yeah.
You know, like little things like that.
Yeah. And that was like, and I remember when I first got in this business and I had another loan officer who got in right around the same time, but wasn't having nearly as much success as I was. And she asked a question and I was helping her out, and I had someone like, why are you helping? I'm like, why would I not help her?
Right.
Like, what? I mean, she's not taking business from me.
Right.
Like, if I'm, why would I be worried about that?
Right.
Like, I have no problem. Someone wanted to call and discuss something or ask me what I was doing. Like, I have no problem.
Right.
I mean, I guess it kind of goes back into the coaching side of, for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, and that's something that I enjoy. All right. Chapter 11, The Mystery of Sex Transmutation. Hill explores the role of sexual energy in creative expression and achievement, how redirecting sexual energy towards goals can fuel success. And he emphasizes the importance of channeling sexual energy into productive endeavors. Now, this is...
That's a little weird.
Yeah.
Boner money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, basically. But no, this took me back to baseball. So like, one of the things is like, when you knew you were going to be pitching, like the night before, like you didn't have sex. You didn't
got to save your chi.
Exactly. Pretty much, you know, it's one of those things. Like it gives you energy.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is. You know, and
Mike Tyson would argue with you though.
But yeah, I mean, that was a thing. Like, I know a lot of guys that just, before a start, or if there was a game that they knew that there was a chance for them to pitch. I mean, you know, as a reliever, you might be going a couple of days without being able to have sex or anything like that. But hey, you know, but also like, it also took me back to like when I was a kid playing hockey and, or even like in pro ball, you're trying to impress the opposite sex. Like your motivation is to impress the other, the opposite sex, to make yourself look better. And you're using that as motivation. And, you know, like if I would have a girl that I was, that I liked would come to a hockey game. I would always play better to,
for sure.
Yeah. Or baseball game. I would always be out there trying to impress. And so it's a thing. I get it. And it does, it fuels success in a way if it's handled appropriately. And that's the thing that he talks about is like, just like anything, if you overindulge, it can become a bad thing. And he talks about also like drugs and narcotics and how like some of the greatest poets that we've ever had, like, and it's not just, like I said, it's not just the sex, what does he say, transmutation, but like some of the best poets wrote their greatest things when they were drunk.
Right. Hunter Thompson's like famously, you know, always, you know, was, have you ever seen those videos of like all, you know, the day, yeah, what a day in the life of what Hunter Thompson was?
Yeah.
You know, what?
Yeah. So, yeah, it's like everybody's got their different forms of motivation, but he just emphasizes that sex and the motivation of sex drives creativity. And
for sure, it drives, I mean, men especially,
right.
You know, I mean, or women are attracted to success.
Right.
So, I mean, that's kind of a fact.
Yeah.
But so, you know, it only makes sense that that's one of the many motivations behind it.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. Chapter 12, the subconscious mind, the connecting link. So going back and basically tying this into an earlier chapter, discusses the power of subconscious mind and achieving process, explains how the subconscious acts as a bridge between conscious desires and reality. And he emphasizes the need to program the subconscious with positive beliefs and thoughts. So again, just reiterating the power of positive thinking, constantly filling your mind with positive thoughts. And this one dives more into the outside factors of people speaking negatively towards you that could help or could influence your thoughts in a negative way, where basically, hey, control the controllables and worry about your own actions. Don't worry about what anybody else is saying. I mean, there was a comment on, I forget what it was. I posted something and, oh yeah, look at these two real estate bros.
Yeah. The real estate bros trying to just,
yeah,
you know, manipulate other people so that they can fill their own pockets or something like that. I was like,
yeah,
sure, dude.
Yeah.
You think so? Like, yeah, you said something and you're like, come on the podcast. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. You know, everybody's got their opinions and, you know, just let them have them, you know, just stick to yourself and don't let those outside opinions and thoughts and negative thoughts affect the way you think about things. Stay 100% positive in your own thoughts. Chapter 13, the brain, a broadcasting and receiving station of thought, explores the relationship between the brain and the mind in shaping reality, and discusses how thoughts are transmitted and received through the brain. It emphasizes the importance of controlling one's thoughts to attract success. So again, control your thoughts. Think about the things that you want. And by continuing to do that, those things are going to come to you. You know, it's just the way, basically this is more scientific in the way the brain receives this information and the frequencies or vibrations, I think is what he calls it. That's a more scientific one. You know, like I said, these last couple chapters are more tying things in, like especially this last chapter. He says you can't even get into this part of things until you've mastered everything else, and that's the sixth sense. Great movie.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis, shout out. But anyway, you know, he gets into this chapter where he's like, it's more about intuition and having a feeling about things. And I thought it was kind of cool how he kind of dove in and talked about how he created his own little group of people that he sat down and met with on a nightly basis in his brain, like Abraham Lincoln, Henry Ford, all of these great people that have influenced the world. Like, he would sit down every night and imagine being in a room with them and having conversations with them and all that. It allowed him to basically, it took his mind to a whole new level and allowed him to have hunches and a feeling or something that something would happen, but being able to be ahead of that and get the problem solved. Or like, almost like he was talking about, like, you know, when you're driving and you feel like there's a car accident or a crash is about to happen and you, it's just something like a gut feeling. He's like, that's the sixth sense. But it takes a mastery of everything else to get to this point. So yeah, that was, That was those. So those were the 13.
I guess, 13 principles. Yeah, man. Yeah. They were a great book, man. I love that one. I feel like that's one I should just kind of like refresh myself on every couple of years.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. If you go, as you're reading through it, he's like, yeah, in a month from now, come back and reread this.
Yeah.
Well, this one chapter, or, you know, in a couple of weeks, reread this chapter. Like he states in the book, like, you're not going to get this reading at one time.
Right.
It's going to,
there's so much in there.
Yeah. It takes years and years and years to master this stuff to get to that point. But that's the point of this. Like, it's not an overnight thing. You know, you have to put the work in, not just physically going out there and doing it, but mentally. You have to get your mind mentally attuned to what it is that you're doing, which will allow you to be better actually physically doing the things.
Right.
So,
all right. Well, and so that kind of concludes our Think and Grow Rich book review. We will let you guys know via social media and the beginning of the next episode what our book is for April. Because I don't think we've decided that yet, have we?
I know we talked about Mental Toughness by Andy Frisella.
Yeah, there's another one that I wanted to suggest too. So, but we'll figure that out,
yep.
And we'll let you guys know here soon. Thanks to our friends at NeuroGum for keeping us energized and focused throughout this podcast. You know, you saw me and Murph eat a couple mints throughout the podcast. And
yeah, thanks again to our people over at Fit Flavors again through the end of May. Online gift cards. Put in the promo code podcast50. We'll get you 50% off any online gift card, one time use per person. So go out there and save some money and get some great food and healthy food while you're at it.
Yeah, podcast 50. All right, guys. Make sure to leave a comment below. Let us know what you thought of the video. Hit that like button. And if you're not already subscribed, hit that subscribe button and tell a friend. We'd appreciate it. We'll see you guys on Thursday.